From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. More fighting and war plagued Yemen. Dozens of Saudi-sponsored militia members, loyal to Yemen's former president, Abd Rabu Mansour Hadi, were killed, and scores of others injured when Yemeni army forces fired missiles at their base in the country's southwestern province of Taiz. According to a military source in Yemen, speaking on a condition of anonymity, as reported by Press TV, Yemeni soldiers and their allies launched a Qahir 2M missile at Al-Qayyama base Monday afternoon. The source said that the attack left more than 30 Hadi loyalists dead and more than 20 others injured. At least 13,600 people have been killed since the onset of Saudi Arabia's military campaign against Yemen in 2015. Much of the country's infrastructure, including hospitals, schools, and factories, has been reduced to rubble as a consequence of the bombings. The Saudi-led war also triggered a deadly cholera epidemic across Yemen, which, according to the World Health Organization's latest count, has killed more than 2,100 people since the end of April of 2017 and is suspected to have infected more than 800,000. Press TV's Mohammed Al-Attab, reporting from Yemen's capital of Sana'a, has more.
The humanitarian situation in Yemen continues to worsen. The United Nations has now launched a $3 billion appeal for the country where the Saudi war, looming famine, and the outbreak of diseases claim more lives each day. The UN humanitarian coordinator in Yemen says the figures of the people affected in the country are staggering.
And the figures of those people affected in this country are quite staggering. Some 22 million people need some kind of humanitarian assistance or protection. And half of that number, that's over 11 million people, are in a category we call in acute need, which are people who are really living on life's edge. So basically what the plan is to ask for, we're asking for $2.95 billion to try and target 13 million people in this country.
The UN official added that the aid was aimed at providing the only lifeline for millions of people. He also said many people were dying in Yemen due to the shortage of medicine. Furthermore, millions of people have been forced by the Saudi war to flee their homes. The province of Ebb is among the destinations where the internally displaced persons have been seeking refuge. Hamida is one of the displaced Yemenis. She's the mother of five orphans who was forced to flee Saudi Arabia's airstrikes and move to the city of Ebb.
My husband was killed in one of the airstrikes. He provided us with enough food and our life was stable. Here in this abandoned market, we suffer from the cold winter nights. We lack food, water, blankets, and even essential medicines. Most of the time we eat bread dipped in tea and no aid has reached our doorstep.
Millions of Yemenis like Hamida are living with the hope that the war will come to an end one day. Rights groups believe the only way to bring that day closer is to draw the attention of the world to the high humanitarian cost of the war. Saudi Arabia attacked Yemen in 2015 with the aim of bringing to power the former president Abd Rabu Mansour Hadi. However, it has so far failed to achieve its objective, and the bombing campaign has left nothing but a trail of death and destruction. Mohammed Al-Attab, Press TV, Sana'a.
The UN has been ineffective in providing aid to the people of Yemen. The Saudis have locked up all of the ports, and road access has been curtailed completely, blocking the delivery of aid to Yemen's people. And an announcement today at the United Nations in New York indicated yet another complication for the delivery of aid and the solution of the problem of the war facing the Yemeni people. This was the spokesperson for the UN Secretary General, Stephane Dujarric, at the UN on Monday.
The UN Special Envoy for Yemen, Ismail Ul-Sheikh Ahmed, has informed the Secretary General that he does not intend to continue in his position beyond the end of his current contract, which ends in February of this year. The Special Envoy takes the opportunity to express his sincere thanks to the Secretary General for his strong and determined support to reach a political solution to the conflict that has engulfed the country. In this moment, the thoughts of Mr. Ismail Ul-Sheikh Ahmed go first with the Yemeni people, who are worn out by this conflict and are enduring one of the most devastating humanitarian crises in the world. The Special Envoy remains committed to pursue through diplomacy an end to the violence and a political solution that meets the legitimate aspirations of the Yemeni people until a successor is named. And I'd like to add that the envoy yesterday concluded a four-day visit to Saudi Arabia, where he met with the Yemeni president and the Minister of Foreign Affairs, as well as a number of Yemeni political and government figures.
While the world has waited to figure out exactly what could be done for the people of Yemen, according to UNICEF last year, more than 11 million children in that country were in acute need of aid. UNICEF stressed that it was estimated that every 10 minutes, a child died of a preventable disease there. In addition, the UN has described the current level of hunger in Yemen as unprecedented, emphasizing that 17 million people were food insecure in the country. The world body said that 6.8 million, meaning almost 1 in 4 of the population, do not have enough food and rely entirely on external assistance. That situation may be about to change, however. On Monday, there was a press conference in Moscow held jointly by Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and Yemen's Deputy Prime Minister, who also serves as Foreign Minister, Abdel Malik al-Mikhlafi. Al-Mikhlafi represents the government that's headed by Hadi and is being resisted by popular forces in Yemen. This was Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov opening the press conference.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have concluded our substantive talks. We discussed in detail the political and military situation in Yemen and the prospects of a settlement of the crisis in the country. We also looked at some of the aspects on our bilateral agenda. We think that there is no alternative to the cessation of hostility at an early date in Yemen. We think all the parties should refrain from any attempts to resolve the existing contradictions through the use of force. We think it is necessary not only to continue, but actually to boost international efforts, with the UN playing the leading role to create conditions for lasting dialogue with all the political forces in Yemen. We think that the arrangements for political settlements in Yemen, prepared in different formats and imposed from outside, will not be viable and may even be counterproductive. Only the people of Yemen themselves can decide the future of their country. And Russia maintains contacts with all the parties in Yemen, and we are ready to provide necessary assistance. And it is our understanding that the leadership of the Republic of Yemen welcomes this stance of Russia. We devoted a lot of attention to the humanitarian situation in Yemen, which remains extremely complex. According to UN estimates, 22 million people in Yemen, that's a huge number, need assistance, and over 2 million children are starving. So Russia welcomes the decision by the Arab Coalition to partially lift the blockade of Hodeida, the only artery that connects the cities, the country's biggest city with the north. We think that the UN should continue to have access to Sana for humanitarian airlifts. Long-term, more fundamentally, it is important to lift the sea and air blockade and open free access for medical supplies and food to all the territories in Yemen. Russia contributes to humanitarian efforts in Yemen. Last year, the Emergencies Ministry sent over 40 tons of humanitarian cargo to Sana'a, and we are now working on another humanitarian delivery to the Republic of Yemen. Unfortunately, as a result of this lasting conflict, basically all the bilateral projects in trade and economic operation between Russia and Yemen have been frozen. We will be ready, and we think that our counterparts are interested to resume our ties as soon as peace and stability return to Yemen. Our people are interested in that, especially considering that we have a long history of good relations between our countries. In December, we'll mark 100 years since we established diplomatic relations. We have agreed with Mr. Minister to continue regular contacts directly and through our embassy in the Republic of Yemen, which recently was moved from Sana'a to Riyadh for security reasons. At the same time, we'll continue our dialogue with Houthis and other political forces in Yemen, with all the stakeholders, including the Arab coalition, which plays an important role in this situation in Yemen, encouraging everybody to contribute to pacifying the situation and moving on from the military conflict to a political dialogue. Thank you.
And these were the opening comments of Yemen's acting deputy prime minister and foreign minister.
I'd like to thank my counterpart, Minister Lavrov. We just had very constructive negotiations. We discussed the situation in Yemen, our bilateral agenda, and prospects for the development of our bilateral ties. We also discussed the decision by U.S. President Donald Trump to move its embassy to Jerusalem. The Arab countries have a unanimous position, and that's why we welcomed Russia's support for the pan-Arab position. Indeed, our relations are long-standing, and as Minister said, on January the 1st, we'll mark the 90th anniversary since the establishment of diplomatic ties between Yemen and Russia.
I've
handed over a welcoming note from the Yemeni leadership to the Russian leadership, and also we recognize Russia's support for the legitimate Yemeni government. During the talks, we reaffirmed our support to every initiative, including the Gulf Initiative and UN Security Council resolutions, including UN Security Council Resolution 2216. This is the only option for us that would bring peace and security and restore territorial integrity and independence. I've reaffirmed to Minister Lavrov that the peace option is the only option for us, and the war was declared upon us by the militants.
who
initiated riot against legitimate authorities. Today we discussed Russia's role and Russia's support for the peace process. Russia is a permanent member of the UN Security Council and plays its role at the UN and in implementing all international resolutions.
Мы считаем, что ООНовские рамки урегулирования являются единственным форматом по достижению мира.
The UN framework is the
only path towards peace in Yemen.
И здесь, соответственно, мы считаем, что России
принадлежит Russia
важных ролей как стране постоянного члена Совбеза.
Has one of the leading roles since it's a permanent member of the UN Security Council. It's one of the co-sponsors of the peace process since 2011. We very much hope that our contacts and consultations will continue. We agreed to intensify them. As for the Yemeni legitimate government, it continues to support the UN efforts and the special UN envoy. We've agreed to the results of negotiations in Kuwait and other areas. Houthis are against the peace process. They set up barriers, and the latest obstacle was the killing of former President Saleh.
This was confirmed
during the talks between the President Hadi and UN Special Envoy, and our President said the same during the meeting with the Presidential Special Envoy for the Middle East, Mikhail Bogdanov.
I
expressed gratitude to you, Minister Lavrov, for the humanitarian aid that Russia has provided. We indeed have a dire humanitarian situation. This is the consequence of the war. The war was imposed upon us. And there's only one alternative. There's only one option. Getting back to normal, stopping the war and restoring state institutions. This will be the ultimate solution. But until that happens,
we are
working on a new plan, that's the so-called rescue plan.
Он подразумевает открытие
According
всех
to it,
пунктов пересечения границы,
all border checkpoints will be reopened, there will be humanitarian corridors opened for the aid to pour in.
Сегодня, через некоторое время,
And it is today
заседание министров
that
a стран-членов
коалиции, ministerial summit of the coalition will take place that will discuss this particular issue. They will come together to discuss this coalition-led plan. We believe that the Yemeni people deserve peace. Today, during our talks, I asked our Russian counterparts to send 50,000 tons of grain, and Minister Lavrov said that this request is now being considered. We very much hope that the reply would be positive, because we know that Russia is committed.
They're
just 50 tons, not 50,000 tons, but 50 tons of grain. We also discussed the consequences of the killing of President Saleh and the situation in the ruling party. We share the same opinion on this issue. We would like this process to be an inclusive one. We also discussed aspects of our bilateral ties. implementation of some bilateral projects, including those related to the prisoners. We would like to continue strengthening our ties. We very much appreciate Russia's role. We cherish the historical ties that we have with Russia, and we hope that Russia will continue the peace process in line with the decisions that have been made. And we very much hope, and we told it to the Prime Minister, to the Foreign Minister, that Iran stops interfering in our affairs.
Lavrov and Al-Mikhlafi took questions from the assembled journalists in Moscow, and we bring you some of that here.
Egyptian TV channel. Minister Lavrov, what is Russia's assessment of the situation in Yemen after the killing of former President Mr. Saleh?
First of all, when this happened, we said it was a grave crime, obviously planned in order to disrupt efforts for peaceful settlement.
As you
know,
Алия Бела Салех was in favor of building bridges with the government of President Hadi in order to stop bloodshed.
We had a feeling that
very soon Ansarallah will be fully isolated and the situation will be resolved even without any political talks.
The
situation looks much more complex. Mr. Minister has just mentioned the situation in the National Congress, where there is a party in favor of the talks, and there are also hardliners who are in favor of continuing confrontation with the legitimate government of Yemen.
هناك أكثر من تيار هناك الذين يدعمون التفاوض وهناك الذين يريدون اتخاذ المواقف الأكثر قصوة ويريدون استمرار الحرب ضد الحكومة الشرعية.
Все это лишь подтверждает, что альтернативы переходу.
All this demonstrates that there is no alternative to launching pan-Yemeni talks. We share this position with the Yemeni government and will continue advancing this position in our contacts with all the parties in Yemen.
وهذا هو موقفنا المشترك مع الحكومة الشرعية اليمنية ونحن سنستمر بترويج هذا الموقف في الاتصالات المستقبلية مع كافة الأطراف اليمنية وجميع اللاعبين الخارجيين.
RT. Roman Kozarev, RT English.
Сергей Викторович, уже несколько дней продолжается турецкая военная операция против курдов.
Turkish special operation against Kurds is now in its third day. The Kurds have been backed by the US. What is Russia's assessment of the operation? What is your assessment of the moderate response by the US to the situation? Will it have an impact on Kurds' role in the Syrian peace process?
فيما يخص بالعملية التركية ضد الأكراد في الشمال السوري الأكراد المدعومين من أمريكا ما هو موقف موسكو من هذه العملية ولستم مستغربون من ردة الفعل المتواضعة من واشنطن وأيضا السؤال هل ستؤثر هذه التطورات على مكانة ودورة الأكراد في التسوية السياسية؟
First of all, you probably are familiar with the statements released by Moscow regarding the launch of the military operation in Afrin. There was a statement by the foreign ministry and a statement by the defense ministry. We encouraged all parties to respect the territorial integrity and sovereignty of the Arab Republic of Syria.
Африн, срихат мин визарат аль-хариджия ва визарат дифа, ва нахну надоу иля дабта нафс, ва ихтирам сияда ва саламат арады Сурия.
В этой связи напомню, что мы уже давно.
I would like to remind everybody that we have been pointing out for a long time that the United States pursues a policy of setting up alternative government bodies throughout the large part of Syrian territories.
يتبعون نهجا لتشكيل هيئة الحكم البديلة في الأراضي الشاسعة في سوريا.
Вашингтон осуществляет открытые, да и неафишируемые поставки
современных вооружений, provides modern weapons to different groups in Syria,
сотрудничают прежде всего силам
allies,
Сирии, опирающимся на
democratic Syrian forces, which rely on Kurdish militia.
علني وبشكل سري تقدم أحدث أنواع الأسلحة الفصائل الموجودة في سوريا التي تتعاون معها أقصد هون قوات سوريا الديمقراطية المؤلفة من الميليشيات الكردية.
В развитии этой линии на грубое вмешательство во внутренние дела Сирийской Арабской Республики
This meddling in the internal affairs of the Syrian Arab Republic continues as several days ago the creation of a borderline force was declared along the entire border with Turkey and Iran.
سياد سوريا قبل أيام جاء الإعلان الأمريكي حول إنشاء قوات الأمن الحدودية على طول الحدود السورية التركية والسورية العراقية.
Затем прозвучали достаточно неуклюжие опровержения, хотя по факту вся деятельность по взятию
aimed at establishing control over Syrian territory along the border continued.
At
the same time, the United States has
been discouraging Kurds from having dialogue with Damascus.
تؤثر الولايات المتحدة على الأكراد لكي لا يدخلوا في الحوار مع الحكومة السورية.
Washington активно поощрял и продолжает поощрять сепаратистские настроения среди курдов.
Encourages a separatist sentiment among Kurds, ignoring the delicate nature and the regional dimension of the Kurdish
ولا تزال تشجع التوجهات الانفصالية لدى الأكراد وذلك إهمالا لحساسية الأوضاع الإقليمية والبعد الإقليمي للقضية الكردية.
И стремясь понять мотивы такой политики Вашингтона, ну ничего не остается, кроме как предположить, что это.
We don't understand the motives for such policy by Washington. It's either that they don't understand the situation, or this is an intentional provocation.
نحن نفترض أنه إما سوء الفهم للأوضاع الحقيقية أو استفزاز متعمد.
Что касается
Now as regards the rule that the Kurds may play in the further political process, they certainly should play a role. But this role should be secured based on a common platform where all the Syrian ethnic, religious, and political forces are encouraged to respect Syria's territorial integrity and sovereignty. That's
My French representatives were invited to the upcoming Congress Syrian National Congress, which will take place next week in Sochi.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.